This episode of The Nate Darling Show is radio-friendly. All the funny, none of the cursing. They've gathered all the nonsense from around the world to mock it. This is The Nate Darling Show.
You guys were excellent tonight.
Hey, thanks a lot. We'll see you inside.
Now, here's Nate and the gang.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to another episode of The Nate Darling Show. This one's going to be a little bit different because I'm by myself in the office studio because my fiance Leslie has been pretty sick the past 5 days. I didn't want to bring anybody into the house with it. So we are doing the show via a Google Plus Hangout, which is kind of cool. So with me, as always, is Kareem. Say hello, Kareem.
Hello, everybody.
There we go. I need to turn you guys up. One more time, Kareem.
Hello, everybody.
Jason Casey.
What's going down?
Sorry for the quality of the audio. And former host of the show, co-host of the show, Becca Costello joins us.
Hello!
Little video delay. I have to get used to that. Yeah, the summer of Sam continues and the summer of guest hosts continues as well. So welcome back, Becca. It's good to see you.
Thank you. It's nice to be, well, I was going to say here, but I'm just in my house in my pajamas. But that's nice to be there, too.
It's kind of cool, though. It's nice that we actually can get this done without everybody having to be here. So, excellent. Thanks, everybody, for...
That's me every day, Becca, because I get to work from home.
Woo-hoo!
So, coming up on the show today, Jason, are you doing bong hits? What's going on?
Did I just make the noise?
Yeah, every time you... Yeah, we can hear that very clearly. So, quit it. Coming up on the show today, we're going to talk a little Pokemon Go. A guy in Canada has found a new use for his drone, and there's someone known as the Hit and Run Flasher. We'll explain that. And remember, I know Becca, I know you have a propensity for foul language. This is a radio-friendly show, so please no swearing if you could avoid it. Same goes for everybody else. So Becca, welcome back. How have you been?
I'm very well. Today was my official last day at a job that I've had, well, an employer I've worked for on and off for like 15 years. And I got off work and just came straight to this podcast. So it's a day of big transition.
Jason, what are you doing?
That's not me. That's Kareem.
Well, anyway, congratulations, Becca. Cheers to you.
Thank you.
And I know.
So, are you a true woman of the cloth now?
Well, I mean, I'm an ordained minister and I work at a church. But right now, the work that I'm doing is mostly, I coordinate volunteers, I do emails and website, that kind of thing. So, I'm not up on Sunday giving the talks. So, partially true woman of the cloth? I don't know.
Well, the nice thing is now that you're an ordained minister, you do have a big gig coming up in November.
I do.
And we've talked about it on the show before, but not with you on the show. You are going to be performing our wedding ceremony.
Yay!
I figure if you're going to leave the show to go and become a minister, the least you can do is come back and do my wedding ceremony.
Absolutely.
It's very exciting. We still have to have a meeting about that at some point, but it's pretty simple. We're a simple folk.
Excellent. Well, once Leslie is restored to health.
Oh yeah, we'll get together very soon and do that. Kareem was a little upset. I think he kind of wanted to do it, but then but then he realized, "Oh, he gets to go to the wedding and not have to do anything." So he's pretty stoked on that.
Hey.
That's true.
It's a lesser pressure thing to just go to the wedding. All you have to do is not make an ass of yourself.
Yeah, and I'm already doing one in October, so that's good.
There you go.
Hey, how many people have you married? You've married a lot, haven't you?
It's been about six.
Wow, nice.
Six couples or six people?
Six couples.
Okay, so you married 12 people.
Yes.
Unless you did a Mormon wedding, and then who knows?
And I've married all kinds of people. I've married black people, I've married white people, I've married mixed couples, and I've married a lesbian couple.
All right. There you go. That's almost the whole gambit. You can mark
it down.
Need
two dudes and I'm it.
Well, I can't help you there. Kareem, how has your week been?
My week has been crazy. my boss went on vacation. One of my bosses went on vacation. And of course, I get a phone call at 6:30 in the morning on the day that he goes that something went wrong. So, and then the other one goes on vacation on Thursday. So that means I have to cover for both of them, which means all kind of hell can break loose between now and Monday.
That sounds like a grand deal of fun, my friend. Jason, what about you? How have you been?
I've been great. I just accepted a new job.
Oh, congratulations.
Congratulations.
Yeah. So that's really, it's scary in one sense because it's a decrease in pay. So there's that worry there because it's less money. However, it's working for a commercial insurance company as a customer support representative, and they're going to help me get my commercial license. So that is a huge plus and far, you know, exceeds the loss of hourly wage. So, yeah, so it's a big decision. You know, it's one of those things that I talk to my wife, and then we talk to, because it's difficult to talk to my parents about stuff like that because they're all crazy. I edited myself there. So I talked to my in-laws, and that's the great thing about my in-laws is I was able to talk it over with them and make sure that this was the right choice. Because Chris, you know, also is like, it's almost about $2 to $3 less than what I'm making right now.
A week? So. That's not much for a week.
an hour.
Oh yeah, but it seems like there is a greater potential on the back end.
On the back end, yeah, it's like in 6 to 8 months, I will be able to make probably twice what I was making before.
So I should so basically we should expect a small wedding gift or an IOU is what you're saying.
Small, you know, I'm wedding gift. Taking some classes also right now, so maybe I'll be able to, you know, perform a ceremony also, you know.
Ooh. Yeah, that's what I need. 3 different people marrying us. That's what I need.
Yeah, it could happen.
That'll be great.
Self-hating white guy, Becca, a woman of the faith, and then Kareem, you know, it's a whole mix.
Well, and don't forget, Becca is a vegan.
Oh, well, it is all covered.
Still vegan, right, Becca?
Oh, yes.
Okay.
For sure.
Well, I mean, that could change at a moment's notice. We don't know.
It could change in an hour.
It could change in a second. In the blink of an eye, you could just go, you know what? That pulled pork sandwich sounds great.
You know, I'd almost changed at the state fair last night because they had been advertising that for the first time ever, they were going to have veggie dogs on a stick. And I couldn't find them anywhere. And I asked the information booth all over the place. No sign. So I went home and I Facebook messaged the fair at like 11 o'clock at night and was like, hey, do you guys really have veggie dogs on a stick? Because it was teased on the website. And someone wrote me back immediately and said that there had been concern from the food vendors that there would not be enough interest in veggie dogs to bother carrying them at the fair, so they decided not to. And I told that story at work today, and people started pointing out to me, they served like maggot grilled cheese sandwiches at the fair. They have chocolate covered crickets at the fair, you know, and they think a veggie dog is too exotic to sell, so...
Yeah,
you know.
We'll take the grill and cordon off like a little 1 square foot area and just make those fresh. That's an easy solution.
Bring my own grill to the state fair?
No, the vendors.
No, they should have one.
Yeah, should have one. Because you don't want to have it. You can't cook your veggie thing in the same spot where they just had a big old slab of meat. That would defeat the purpose. I mean, it's not quite like being kosher, but it's close. So, anyway. Yeah, my week, spent the last 5 days dealing with a very sick fiance. Urgent care is a complete misnomer. It was three plus hours at urgent care on Saturday because the fine folks at Sutter decided that in a city of 500,000 people, they only needed to schedule one doctor to work at their urgent care on a Saturday.
Ooh.
One doctor. Been a lot of ups and downs. It turns out, looks like she has some sort of virus. So she caught a bug. Ooh, no. So there's a lot of, where could I have gotten it from? And it's like, dude, does it really matter where you could have? You could have gotten it from anywhere, literally. So it's really, really one of those things. It's been an up and down thing. With her temperature has been up to like 103.4 at one point.
Ooh.
Yeah, that was bad times. But then it would go back down and she'd start to feel a little better. But then it would go back up again. So it's been this roller coaster of, I got home Friday night. She wasn't feeling great. Didn't quite know why. Saturday, you know, then her temperature spiked Friday night. Saturday, she didn't feel well. So I was like, we're going to urgent care. We did all that. Sunday, it was up and down again. Monday, I took a sick day to stay home because she could not be left alone. She was that under the weather. And Tuesday, we record this on Tuesday. I went into work early because I had a project I had to get done. Went in at 6 a.m., came home, brought her to the doctor, and then they did some lab work and everything came back normal there. So hopefully we're on the back end of it. She's feeling, as we're recording this, she's feeling quite a bit better. But because of the up and down nature of everything, it's like a little cautious before I get too stoked on stuff. But hopefully on the back end of it, because they're saying the viral infections, it's anywhere from 4 to 7 days. So,
Jesus.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's not fun. We were worried that it was the flu. By the way, the flu test is terrible. They take a... Okay, Becca, you're probably the only one who's really going to understand this. Well, it's like a pap smear for your sinuses, except they go up one nostril and then up the other, and it's the long wooden Q-tip that they just jam up there. And she's like, "I am never having that again." Yeah, it was not fun.
Hey,
you all right, Jason?
Sorry, my cats were almost going to fight.
Oh
sorry.
No, we can't have that.
I know. Sorry.
How long did I do the podcast where I had two cats just hanging all around doing shit during the show? It was like 3 years of the.
It's 3 years.
Three and a half years of the show. Jason does one show at home and he's like, we're 10 minutes in. No, well, they're gonna fight. You gotta.
They're buttholes to each other for no reason.
Because they're cats. That's what they do. Mm-hmm. Hey, by the way, it's nice to finally see the inside of your home since I haven't been invited over yet.
We've only invited over like one or two people, and it's because they pressed the issue, which is not a bad thing, Christiana. but we just haven't gotten around to it. We are always usually busy on the weekends, and the squeaky wheel gets oiled. So thank you, Christiana, for being that type of friend.
Finally cracking into my Belching Beaver double IPA.
It's in San Diego. I know that place.
They have a peanut butter milk stout that it's delightful too.
Yes, when I drank, that was one of my favorites.
And higher praise could not be found than the when I drank, that was one of my favorites.
That was one of my favorites.
Indeed, they're delightful. So this past week, about a week ago as we're recording this, there was an event on television on Impact Wrestling called The Final Deletion. And I sent around a link and I had to, did everybody get a chance to watch that? I know Becca saw it. Jason, did you get a chance to see it?
Not only did I watch it, but I made Alex, my buddy, watch it with me. So I was able to share.
I've watched it 3 times.
You are.
So I'm very...
There's something despicable about that.
You know, there is. I actually asked Leslie to watch it with me, so because I want to.
Oh, yeah, it's even more.
she watches most of the wrestling she watches with me is like the pay per views with WWE. So I wanted to get her perspective as somebody who isn't like a hardcore wrestling fan, and it was very interesting. Kareem, did you get a chance to see it? Kareem.
He's playing on his phone right now.
Yeah, it's away from his
making noise earlier.
It's away from his ear. All right, so we'll carry on without him. I think he saw it. I'm not positive. For anybody who hasn't, you can go ahead and look for it on. It's on YouTube. It's everywhere. It's about 17 minutes long total. It's called Hardy versus Hardy: The Final Deletion, and I've picked a couple of places to listen in. just to give people sort of a hint of what is going on.
Gracias. Thank you. That was so nice.
Delightful. It's an extraordinary xylophone. Gracias.
So, Matt, where's...
So...
What is it even? What is that? What is...
Basically, so Matt and Jeff Hardy are brothers who've been in wrestling for a very long time. But now Matt Hardy, who you just heard, is broken. He's broken Matt Hardy. And this whole thing starts... Now, this is the culmination of three matches, I guess. But this whole thing starts with having a birthday party for a one-year-old, and the gardener has just given the one-year-old an extraordinary xylophone.
I didn't even, like... Wait. It's alliteration, right? But what I mean, it's, oh my god, like,
no, it's not alliteration. Extraordinary is an E and xylophone's an X.
Well, yeah, but it's very close.
Sure Becca, when you first heard that, what was your reaction
specifically to the xylophone? Or just I think I had no context for this. Like, I did not even realize that TNA wrestling, I just didn't even know what I was clicking on at all.
Sure.
And I was watching it with Ted, who was also, you know, a host of the show.
Yeah.
And he right away knew who the Hardy brothers were and that whole thing. And I think I was just trying to get my bearings for like the first 3 or 4 minutes, you know?
Oh, yeah.
It felt like I was watching some kind of like telenovela kind of thing at first, you know?
That's a pretty good description. Kareem, are you back with us?
Yeah.
Okay, good. Did you get a chance to watch the final deletion?
I watched it.
I just played the clip of the...
And mind you, I know who all of the players were.
Right.
And I was still disturbed.
Oh, you know what's really funny is I just paused it because I'm going through... I've picked a few points in the video to play back to give people an idea. And I paused it where Jeff Hardy is swatting drones out of the air in his house with a guitar. And I didn't notice this before, but there is a shot of someone in a mirror holding a cell phone up at about chest level, capturing all of the action, in addition to everything else. This is on a broadcast. Now, by the way, it's on Pop Network, which used to be the TV Guide channel. So not that it's a big deal. So, as I said, let's fast forward to the point where Matt, who broken Matt Hardy, is challenging his brother Jeff for the rights to the Hardy name, thus the final deletion of his brother Jeff. Let's take a listen.
Brother Nero, I see you've met my fleet.
So one of the drones has a hologram that comes out of it of broken Matt Hardy. Now, he calls his brother Jeff Brother Nero, and no one really knows why. So if you're waiting for an explanation, no one really has one. It's just crazy broken Matt Hardy.
Assault robots, you are now speaking to Vanguard 1. Tonight, I command you to meet me at the property line. Tonight is our final battle. And we determine who owns the rights to the Hardy name. Who controls the Hardy brand. Who is the sole proprietor of the Hardy Empire. Everything ends tonight. The last Des and Cameron. The final deletion!
So the drone then flies outside.
Oh, hell no!
Now Jeff's mad. So he's going to jump on a dirt bike, and he's swatting other drones out of the air, and he's going to chase after it. But as you would expect, because it's a drone and it can fly, he can't catch it with his dirt bike. Because why would you be able to catch a drone with a dirt bike? That's just crazy. Okay, so at that point, what was everybody thinking was going on? Because we are not even close.
I felt like I took something when I watched it.
Yeah, we're not even close to anything. We're not even close to a wrestling match yet. And it's going to be an old school backyard wrestling match. Now, so that happens. They're going to have a match that night. And a referee drives up, and they've got all these like tiki torches around a ring, which is set up out in Matt Hardy's, broken Matt Hardy's backyard. And the referee drives up and is like, what am I supposed to do? So he explains to him that he's supposed to do his referee job. But here's
referee looked like Nate and Larry had a kid together.
It's true. He does look a little like myself and Larry Mead. But it was a very thing. Here's the other thing about Matt Hardy. He has a very strange accent and it's not consistent. I don't know if you noticed that as well. His accent is sometimes it's British, sometimes it's a weird, almost South African. It's very strange. But let's get ready for the match. We're, you know, almost 7 minutes in, and it's time for him to summon his brother Jeff to begin. Oh, I'm sorry, brother Nero to begin the final deletion.
And now I must summon the evil enigma by playing this lovely violin that I was personally given by my dear friend, Antonio Stradivari.
And Jeff pulls up on a four-wheeler now, because he has a lot of motorized off-road vehicles.
Brother Nero, I knew you'd come. This match we're about to have will be your true Armageddon. Yeah, for your deletion.
So prepare for your deletion. So now we're ready to actually have a wrestling match.
Finally.
Right? And they're in a backyard. It's really poorly lit. So they go on, and at a certain point, you know, there's a lot of, if you're familiar with the Hardy Boys, there's a lot of high-flying stuff that they normally have in their matches. But at a certain point, I'm not really sure why or what precipitated it, Broken Matt Hardy grabs, for lack of a better term, a firework launcher and starts shooting across the ring at his brother Jeff, who is on the other side, having been thrown out. Jeff is defending himself with a trash can lid. And Matt's yelling, delete. And Jeff's like, what's wrong with you? So I know the fireworks are over. He's going to go over and check. There's a drone shot from above and just smoke. So he's sneaking around the ring now. And he's picking up some sort of rake or hoe. I can't quite tell what it is.
Brother Nero! Brother Nero! It's over! Oh!
Damn right, oh shit.
See, his brother Jeff found one of those firework launchers on the other side, and now he's firing it at Broken Matt Hardy as he runs away. If you didn't quite catch that, he said it's a dilapidated boat, and he's now hiding under a crappy rowboat. So that's it. That's all I have for clips from the thing.
You know, really, Nate?
Yes.
Like, yeah. No, I just I'm for another show. I'm just gonna say that. I'm gonna save this for another show. I tried to hold it in. I might have cussed at least once during that, but I will wait and
the whole later. Thing. All right. So, Becca, now let's
yes.
your impressions of the whole thing as a piece, now not necessarily as a piece of wrestling, but maybe as a piece of theater.
Well, here's the thing. I was genuinely having no context for it whatsoever. My impression was that two guys who really like wrestling but had never really done it and weren't any good at it decided to make a short film, and that's why everything was dark and the editing was like super fast, so they didn't have to really do any moves, like legitimate moves. They could just sort of jump out of trees and hide behind boats. And then I was really surprised when Ted was like, no, those guys have long careers in wrestling. They're like, you know, they're legit people. So then I was just baffled. I just couldn't understand why it was so bad. I mean, that sounds so judgmental, but you know.
The funny thing
is, I think you had it backwards. That the acting was going to be that way. That's why it was in the dark like that.
Yeah. They thought that the darkness could hide the bad acting.
Oh, it was truly something. But here's the thing. It got people talking about Impact Wrestling. That has not happened in forever. That company is shockingly on its last legs. But really kind of interesting. So I want to thank all of you. Kareem, what was your impression of the whole thing?
It was disturbing.
Disturbing because it's because of the quality, or disturbing because of the content?
The content more than the quality. I grew up on those kind of wrestling matches, so the wrestling match I was okay with.
Right.
Like, I grew up on the Night of the Skywalkers and those kind of matches where you jump off a scaffold and then you get hit with barbed wire and all that stuff.
Right.
So that part I was great with. But the rest of it was kind of disturbing.
It was great. Jason, what did you think?
I think I had an idea of what it was when I saw those TNA. I knew what I was in for. Shockingly, bad. Even the wrestling, like, being that it was filmed, like, I figured that the wrestling moves would be better and, like, better perform. I thought that it was so shoddy and so horrible. It just, like, it was, there's so much that I would like to add to this, but I must save it for later.
We'll save it for the Monday episode. We'll revisit it. I'll applaud them for trying something I've never seen before.
Yeah.
That's where it ends, because I had to watch it more than once because I wasn't sure. I'm like, was it really that bad? And yeah, it was. It was really that bad on a lot of different levels. It's ridiculous, almost absurdist. And if you even remotely touch wrestling, I think you should spend 17 and a half minutes just watching it just to see.
Was the director's cut really necessary?
Well, here's what happens, Jason. It was because in the show, what happens is there were two vignettes that they shot. There was the first one at the birthday party. Then there was the second two or three. But they had the birthday party, the drones, and then the summoning. And it would basically, those would play throughout the show, and then the match was at the end of the show. So basically what they did was they put all of those segments together. So you didn't have to watch any of the other.
Like the Godfather saga.
Sort of. It was just teases and stuff like that. But I would encourage you to watch that and then watch some good wrestling. You know, there's plenty of it out there. Go on YouTube, go search for some like Ring of Honor stuff if you want to see some good wrestling like that. Or if you've got the WWE Network, there's still plenty of stuff. You can go back and watch the Hardys near the headliner of WrestleMania doing great matches. Jason.
Oh, yeah. And there's something to be said about your point that you said as far as everybody's talking about it now. Like, it could have just been a really great marketing ploy to get people reinvigorated and knowing about TNA, you know, that it's out there, because there's the backyard stuff that's going on. There's the local stuff that goes on. So, you know, maybe it worked in that sense.
Indeed. All right. Well, meanwhile, there was a man in Magog, Quebec. This could be small town news. It's not far from where I grew up. He's found a way to work his aerial drone a little differently. It's now in his grooming routine, sort of. See, he figured out a way to wax his legs using his drone. Let's take a listen.
Oh, I think it's going to work.
I think you're going to scream after.
It's possible.
Look at the disgusting hair underneath.
Ew!
Here we go.
Drone is flying. 3, 2. Oh, yeah! I tell you, it worked! Look!
He was so excited he didn't care about how much it hurt. So I got to applaud that. His daughter looks like she's about 9. She was the one making the commentary beforehand. So basically, he took a wax strip, put it on his leg, and duct taped it to a piece of string, and then the other end of the string was tied to his drone.
They're going to be the new way to pull out kids' teeth.
It might. Well, maybe. It's the new home bikini wax with the. That'd be bad times. Speaking of the bikini area, Pokemon Go, it's a big thing now. You know, people are everywhere trying to find the Pokemons. They're not looking where they're going. They're finding dead bodies. Well, a man has decided to share a photo of himself catching Pokemon while his wife was preparing to give birth. That's right. There were Pokemon in the delivery room. It's from Washington. He's a Reddit user. Of course he is. His name is Jonathan Therio. He shared a screenshot from the game Pokemon Go showing the augmented reality Pokemon apparently sitting near a hospital bed as his wife prepared for a C-section delivery. And he wrote, "When your wife is about to have a baby and Pokemon shows up and you have to low-key catch it. Because if she high-key catches you, you're going to get slapped." Can you imagine?
Wow.
Can you imagine? Becca, what would you do if you happened to glance over as you're about to give birth and your partner was trying to Pokemon his way?
I was literally thinking as you were reading this, if I was pregnant right now, like, that would be me and Ted, like, for sure. Because Ted is so into Pokemon Go.
Oh, no.
And, like, we went to a Giants game this weekend that was almost a no-hitter. We went to the state fair. Like, a whole bunch of stuff, and he was Pokemoning, like, the whole way, and I'd be like, okay, honey, there's a curb here, all right, we're all gonna go upstairs now, and, you know, I mean, I know that maybe giving birth is a little more exciting than, like, the Giants game, but I could easily see that happening.
That's crazy. Jason, I know that you're playing Pokemon Go, and you have a baby on the way. Oh, no. There's one right outside. You need to go out and get it?
No. I just caught one. It's cool.
Oh, great. That's great.
Wow.
What?
I was excited to come to your house so I could try to catch some new Pokemon.
Well, next week.
Next week.
You can come over. I don't know if they're... This is a neighborhood I don't know if even the Pokemon will come to. I have to believe that your lovely bride would probably slap you. Maybe gently. Oh.
She's already like, this is definitely, she does not like it, does not approve.
I like her more already.
It's so funny that this is the story. I think you sent it to me as we were doing the tour at the hospital, as I was like, I had to put my Pokemon away because she was like, you will not be playing that in the hospital while we're on this tour.
Well,
and it's a gym. It's a training gym right there. So that's pretty important, like, location. And I just got level 5 and I couldn't do anything. So yeah, she really had me by the hair, you know what I mean?
Yes, yes, I do. He also went on to say, I'm lucky enough to have a wife that supports my Pokemon lifestyle. She drew the line at me wandering around the hospital searching for more, at least until the baby is out. Well, that is super duper nice of her. All right, we are running woefully behind, so let's go ahead and do this.
Get ready for some judging. It's time for Cool or Tool.
All right, first up in Cool or Tool, the final deletion. The final deletion. Jason.
So tool.
Kareem.
Tool.
Becca.
I'm going to say cool because I'm so baffled.
You know, I'm going to go with you, Becca, because it's just so weird. It's weird. It made me watch it 3 times, so never again.
I watched it 4 times to get through it.
No, I watched it all the way through 3 times. All right, up next in Cooler Tool, drones. Drones, Kareem.
They can be cool, but not everybody should have them, so they're tool.
Becca.
Drones are a tool. And yeah, I'll just go with that.
Jason.
That's so cool.
That's right. You know, they used a lot of them in the making of the final deletion.
Yep.
They were flying them into the house, swatting them with guitars, shooting the match. Yeah, they're cool. And finally, in Cooler Tool, Pokemon Go. Pokemon Go. Kareem.
Tool.
Jason.
I'm going to say it's as cool, if not cooler, than ice.
All right, Becca.
I haven't played it, but I'm going to say cool because it makes Ted so happy.
You know.
Oh, you're so supporting.
Right? Right? Until I hit somebody with my car, I'm going to go with cool. But I swear to God, if I hit you with my car, I am never going to claim fault for that. So,
oh, you shouldn't. No. As you shouldn't.
No, that's it. So that's going to do it for cool or tool. Let's rip through this next thing really quickly. In Nevada, there was a road rage incident. And, well, of course, the news was there to capture it all, you know, afterward. Because there was video, caught on tape stuff. And the internet, of course, is slow.
Slasher is behind bars tonight, charged with exposing herself to a local family and screaming obscenities at them. The woman surrendered to police this afternoon, and our camera was there as she was taken away. Good evening, everyone. Glad you're with us tonight. I'm Jim Snyder.
I'm Reed Cowan. This 6 days after this bizarre road rage incident was captured on cell phone video. That's where we start our top story tonight. News 3's Kelsey Thomas, live downtown at the Clark County Detention Center.
This is Vegas, by the way.
Well, Reed, we just learned a few minutes ago that the woman in that video, her name is Gina DeMarco, and she is 34 years old. Nevada Highway Patrol says she felt pressure to surrender to law enforcement, her face all over the place. That video on the News 3 Facebook page has been watched 30,000 times.
She's sorry and she's apologetic that happened.
A remorseful hit-and-run flasher caught and cuffed in the back of a Nevada Highway Patrol car. Shocking cell phone video shows the woman hurling curse words and flashing a family during rush hour traffic.
I mean, what was she thinking? I mean, what's the point of doing that?
Adrian Rodriguez tells us the commotion
started before
this dramatic confrontation. It happened after the two collided Thursday on the 95 South.
Call the policia. I see boobies.
She was, I don't know, going crazy.
2 minutes later, she's gone.
Clearly, I mean, this is outrageous behavior, and it has no place on our roadways.
Nevada Highway Patrol Trooper Jason Barachik says the woman could be facing hit and run and indecent exposure charges. And that's not all. As it turns out, she may be in even more legal trouble.
We found that maybe there were some things that were going on beyond just a regular hit-and-run crash. So it looks like maybe fraud or some type of identity theft may be involved. Our investigators are still looking into that.
For now, the woman behind this now viral video is behind bars and getting ready to face a judge.
Well, if she would have just stayed on scene and waited for NHP to get there, she would have had an unsafe lane change ticket and would have been on her way.
Yeah, so wait for the cops.
Yeah.
That's the advice for today. Also, free the nipple. Free the nipple.
If you flash your boobies, I wouldn't even call the cops.
Well, here's the thing. His wife told him to call the cops, and what's he to do?
Call the cops.
Call the cops.
Exactly. That's right. That's what you do. All right, it's time to wrap things up.
And now, the Nate Darling Show takes it to a simpler place. It's time for small town news.
You know, this was it's getting harder now that Gordy Little is gone to find good small town news. Even the people in Plattsburgh, New York, have been really letting us down. There hasn't been a speak out in a month. A month?
What?
Exactly. So
no.
Dave, yeah. So I had to go with a story from a small town. It's still weird, though. Dateline Manchester, Vermont. Vermont State Police say a man was struck by what appears to be a blow dart. Because, you know. Authorities say the man was at the Taconic Hotel in Manchester when he felt a sharp pain in his thigh and saw a white car speed away. That's when he found a 6-inch dart sticking in his leg.
Oh, my God.
Right? The driver took off heading south on Main Street. Police say the victim is visiting Vermont, and they don't believe he was specifically targeted. The dart will be sent to the Vermont Forensic Laboratory for DNA testing. By the way, if you have any information, call Manchester Police. Since it's a very short story, let's go to the comments. Scott Smith says, "This is George Bush's fault." David Morrison from Orlando, I don't know why he's weighing in, says white cars commit more crimes than any other color of car. They are a minority, and they are trying their best to be recognized as a worthy part of the car population. There are supports groups available for white cars. Check your local paper for time and locations. And finally, Andrew Vincent, who is an assistant secretary to the Secretary of Network Administration at Jerry's Autorama in Raleigh, says the next thing you know, Congress will initiate a ban on assault blowguns. What is this world coming to when a man can't own a long cylindrical tube to protect his family? See, sometimes you should read the comment section. Not normally, of course, but sometimes. Sometimes that's the thing to do. So anyway, that's going to do it for Small Town News. And that's going to do it for this episode of The Nate Darling Show. We went a little long, but it's all good. We're working out the kinks and such. So thank you, Becca, for joining us.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jason.
Thank you.
And thank you, Kareem. We're going to wrap things up with a little music from Seether. This is Country Song on The Nate Darling Show. Back on Friday with a fresh new episode. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening, and remember to use the Shop Amazon tab at natedarlingshow.com.